are listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, April 17th, in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and we want to take a look at another reading for this coming Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. That's Good Shepherd Sunday, and on Monday, we had gone through an understanding of John chapter 10. During the Sundays of Easter, there is not an Old Testament reading. It's replaced by a reading from Acts. Acts 4, 1 to 12. And that's what we want to take a look at today. Acts 4, 1 to 12. Now, Acts 3 is about the event when Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. And Peter and John not only saw them, but they healed him of his lameness. And he had been lame from birth. In fact, at the end of our reading for today from Acts chapter 4, it says, the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. And so, from birth, he had not been able to walk. So, Peter talks to the people about Jesus Christ, about heaven must receive him until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And chapter 3 ends with, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Now we notice that Peter always uses scripture when talking to the people. Peter shows through the Bible that Jesus is Israel's Lord and Savior. He built his case not with his own words, but with the Word of God. He provides no evidence for the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He simply quotes scripture again and again. And that is a good lesson for us to realize. That is how we bring people into faith, by simply quoting the scripture. So beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, as they were speaking to the people, that's Peter and John, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, isn't that interesting? They were using scripture. They were using their witness of Jesus having been risen from the dead. And so the priests, the Sadducees, arrested them, verse 3, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. Now, what do you think the number was of those who believed, Peter and John? They were simply talking openly about Jesus. The number of the men came to about 5,000. I find that really interesting. That, recall, Jesus fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And here, Peter and John fed the people the word of God. And people believed it, and the number of the men came to about 5,000, not including the women and children able to understand. So, Peter and John are arrested. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set Peter and John in the midst, they questioned them. By what power or by what name did you do this? Verse 8 is really important. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. So here we see the life of sanctification at work, where the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter to speak. And he says, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, remember they healed him, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Now, that's a really important point in our preaching. We do not take credit as pastors in converting people and bringing them into faith. We give credit to the Holy Spirit, because everyone who is converted and brought into faith does so by hearing from the scriptures who Jesus was and what he did and what he preached. So, this is where the cross and the resurrection fills the life of the believer. that everything that happens is related to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. Now that's really interesting, because the cornerstone of a building, or the head of the corner, is what really holds the building together. Jesus is said to be the cornerstone of the Holy Christian Church. Verse 12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now that is a great verse to put on a poster in your church. Salvation comes only through trusting in Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven is given by which we must be saved. Now that was very bold, what Peter and John are saying, because they could have been whipped. Verse 12. Now, when the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests saw the boldness of Peter and John, and then they perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. That is a wonderful verse for pastors, because a lot of pastors can't imagine how they are going to be able to teach and preach in a congregation to people who will listen to them. And yet, pastors in the Missouri Synod are educated, often with 4 years of seminary and vicarage training. They are educated. And so they are even more able to speak God's word. Remember, one of the things I like to talk about is that in a sermon, you're not only giving the definition of the original language, the Hebrew and the Greek, but you're also interpreting the English. Going on in verse 13. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus, that they had been his disciples. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. I enjoy watching movies about trials on YouTube. And every time the prosecution says something, the defense attempts to defend it and show how the prosecution is not accurate. But in this case, the opposition, namely the priests, etc., they had nothing to say against Peter and John. Because, remember, 5,000 men believed in Jesus Christ now, who had not believed in him the day before. And so there was a large crowd. So, when the Pharisees and the priests commanded Peter and John to lead the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Now, the word sign can also be translated as miracle. A notable miracle has been performed, and everyone agreed that this man, who had been for 40 years lame, was now able to walk. Verse 17. The religious leaders are still talking among themselves. "But in order that it may be spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." Now, that was a common practice in the early church, where rulers and false preachers would order the disciples not to speak in the name of Jesus. It's also happening in the United States, where preachers are told not to speak against abortion or homosexuality or suicide and many other immoralities. We now find the example we are to follow in verse 19. "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.'" Wow, talk about brave disciples. Here they have orders from the head of Judaism saying they should be quiet, and they refuse to be quiet. Throughout the history of the world, we see Christians often opening their mouths and speaking the word of God, even when they are punished for doing so. That's the Holy Spirit at work. So, what do the Sadducees, priests, what do they say next? "And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them." Now, isn't that interesting? And we find those threats in the world today. There are universities and students who will not allow confessional biblical preachers to share the word of God at the university. And this is obviously a way of trying to stop Christianity from growing. But, for example, here in St. Louis, there are churches that are expanding their growth. My own church, which is a wonderful congregation of 2,000 people, has just begun a project costing over $12 million to expand their parochial school, because they have so many people wanting to come to the school, but they are not able to come to the school because there's not enough room. So we're looking forward to more room, to the point where from preschool through grade 8, there'll be double classes. And then, of course, we have 3 Lutheran high schools in the area. So, when these priests and Sadducees further threaten them, they let them go. Why? The answer is given in verse 21. Because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. That's something to keep in mind. They were not praising Peter and John. They were praising God. God was the source of that man's healing. As Peter had said in the previous chapter. Then verse 22 is interesting. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Now, remember, the book of Acts was written by Luke. Why would Luke include the age of the man? Because a lot of times you wouldn't listen to children or even teenagers. But here is a man, 40 years old. It reminds us of another passage. This man had been lame from birth. The other passage in the Gospel of John is a blind man from birth, and yet Jesus gave him sight, and he believed in Jesus. What way has Jesus given you sight? It's in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper and the hearing of the divine word. A lot of times when pastors visit a hospital to speak to members, they only speak the word, maybe a little Bible study. But the goal is to comfort. Occasionally, the Lord's Supper will be given, particularly to shut-ins. For the promise is that in that supper, they're receiving the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And in their baptism, they also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we as Christians, need to stand firm against the world today and tell people what Jesus truly said. Because what he said is the most important thing to hear. As the ending of chapter 3 writes, God, having raised up his servant, that's Jesus, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. And that turning from wickedness took place when you were justified by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. So that's the reading from Acts chapter 4. Some great noting. We will not be on the air Thursday and Friday because of the Share-a-thon, where we encourage you to contribute to the work of KFUO. We will be back on Monday to continue with law and gospel teaching. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.